The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. It's the Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." So ends the reading.
Thank you, Charlotte. We've come to the close of the season of Epiphany, the season of light. So it's good to have a bright, sunny morning as we close this season. And we stand on the edge of Lent, a time of preparation for the death and resurrection of Jesus. So it seems fitting that the lectionary ends this season of light with one more story of light. Of light so bright that nothing on earth can produce it. A blinding illumination that reveals not only who Jesus is, if we haven't yet figured that out, but also Jesus' mysterious words about his coming suffering, death, and resurrection. As you've been following through Matthew, Jesus has encountered contention and challenge from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who ironically, just in the chapter before this story, asked for a sign from heaven, and it was denied. And even the disciples, who have been traveling with Jesus and have witnessed and heard, witnessed remarkable things and has heard his teachings, they don't seem to get it. If you read between the lines, they're trying Jesus' patience. They haven't connected the dots yet. He has to continue to review and remind them what they've seen and heard, to refresh their memories. And he doesn't sound too happy about having to continue to do this, to help them make the connections. And by the time Peter responds with a good answer, if you will, to the question, who do people say that I am? Or who do you say that I am? Jesus has a sense of urgency about him to prepare these guys for leading of a community when he's no longer with them. The Pharisees and Sadducees ask for a sign so they could really understand who this Galilean was. But it's Peter and James and John who got it. When Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" they answered with the names of the great prophets. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Moses. Names that would invoke respect and loyalty among the hearers. But then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus goes on and connects all of this to his coming suffering. And on the mountaintop, for just a brief period of time, those three disciples, Peter and James and John, get a glimpse of what's really true. That Jesus, in this brilliant, blinding light, with a voice from the cloud, proclaiming what was heard at his baptism, that this is God's beloved. God's beloved Son. Thomas Long says, "It's in that light that the face and clothes of Jesus gleam with the favor of God." And he goes on to say, "When Jesus is accompanied by Moses and Elijah, it is a pulling back of the curtains of time to show that Jesus is continuous with all that God has promised and given in the law and the prophets." Close quotes. Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, the prophets. And I don't think it's insignificant that one of those figures, Elijah, was one that the disciples said Jesus was being compared to. There was an understanding. It's not biblical, but there was an understanding that Elijah was going to return before the end of time, before the Messiah came. And so when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And some say, "You're Elijah." And then here in this vision, Moses and Elijah appear. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the noted German theologian, who was put to death by the Nazis, asked, or he said, the question for us is, who is Jesus for us today? Who is Jesus for us today? How do we answer that? I'm not going to tell you how you answer that. I'm just going to ask you, how do you answer that? Peter and James and John have had their bright, shining moment with Jesus. And we occasionally have our own mountaintop experiences. But they're all just a hint, a glimpse of what is yet to be. One scholar compares the transfiguration to a movie preview. Just a teaser. In the meantime, while we trust the future and who holds the future, we live in this ordinary present. Like the disciples, we come down off the mountaintop. Into the messiness and challenges and hurts and joys of everyday life. We live in this ordinary present with extraordinary moments and experiences. And like the disciple, when we turn back from those occasionally glimpses of we get of who Jesus is for us, we need to turn back to the work, to the ministry, to the challenges that await us. Jesus, who often touches people in need on that mountaintop, when the disciples heard the voice, they were afraid and they fell to their knees. And he reached down and rose, picked them up, and took him down to engage in the ordinary, but also to join him on the journey to Jerusalem that begins this week. So Lent approaches, and we are invited. We're invited to join them, the disciples and Jesus, on the way to Jerusalem, and to ponder that question of Bonhoeffer. Who is Jesus for you today? And we come to the table. To help us in that pondering, to be reminded. That this is my beloved. Listen to him. And we come to this table to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be re-energized as we enter the mess and muck of life around us with its challenges and its hopes, its promises and its problems, and being reminded that we're not alone. So come. Come to this table. Amen.